Hello, my name is Eva, and welcome to another episode of Restless Times in History. Right off the bat, I'd like to apologize for the delay of the third episode of the Stockholm Bloodbath of 1520. The episode was actually more or less ready until it suffered a sudden computer death. Anyone who has had such an experience will know how surreal it is just to see all your material gone. And it had all disappeared, even the backup. Anyway, I am working on a new version as quickly as possible. And until then, here is another episode which was actually supposed to come out after the Bloodbath series had concluded. But I do hope you enjoy it. Today, we are going to talk about five facts concerning a sovereign who still divides opinions. I shall put forth five facts about a king who is remembered for many things. For being a villain of the ages, for being an able governor, and for being king contested. He is perhaps best remembered for being a man who imprisoned his nephew and the heir to the throne of England, and having himself crowned King of England on the 6th of July, 1483, only to see himself lose his crown, lose his power, and ultimately lose his life at the Battle of Bosworth Field on the 22nd of August, 1485. I am, of course, speaking about Richard III, and here are five interesting facts about this king who can still stir all manner of emotions in contemporary history enthusiasts. Fact number one, King Richard III was never Duke of York. This is one of the most common misconceptions. It is a title attributed to him time and time again. Even the 1983 BBC drama Richard III calls him Duke of York, and the title can be seen beside his name in numerous history articles. The misconception arose during the 19th century. Yes, those pesky Victorians once again. They conflated Richard's governing of the north of England with the Duchy of York. In truth, he was in 1471 named Lieutenant of the North, Lieutenant if you prefer, and the duchy he was awarded was the Duchy of Gloucester. Fact number two, Richard III was the last Plantagenet descendant to sit on the throne of England. His death marked the end of the ruling Plantagenet dynasty, which had started with Henry II in 1154, Henry II being the great-grandson of William the Conqueror. Fact number three, Richard III's death is popularly pinpointed as the end of the English medieval period. Now, defining the end of the English medieval period is a lively debate, with some pointing to the year 1500 or later, while others point to the end of the Wars of the Roses as the end of the medieval age, making the conclusion of that era to be in 1487. However, there are several good arguments to be made in highlighting Richard's death as the end of the medieval period. It marks the transfer of power from the Plantagenets to the Tudor dynasty. And this is profound, as the Tudor period heralded in marked changes in the government, society, and the very definition of kingship, and of course, of religion in England when the Reformation commenced. Fact number four, Richard III was the last English king to die in battle in the late summer of 1485. An embattled Richard III faced Henry Tudor and his formidable army at the Battle of Bosworth Field. According to contemporary scholars, during the latter stages of that battle, Richard caught sight of Henry Tudor on the battlefield, and trying to end it once and for all, Richard surged forward with a few of his retainers in an effort to put Henry Tudor to the sword and thereby end the revolt. But as we know, this bid was unsuccessful, and it was Richard who lost his life. And according to contemporary witnesses, he was hacked to death where he stood and where he fell. According to later chroniclers, Richard wore his crown into battle, and it was, following the Tudor victory, retrieved and placed on the head of Henry Tudor, who was there and then, on that bloody ground, proclaimed Henry VII. The fifth and final fact. Now, this fact is actually Richard adjacent, in so much as it involves an incident which took place at the start of his reign, and it concerns the ever-compelling and still unsolved mystery of the two princes in the tower. I imagine most of you listening to this podcast have at least heard mention of the disappearance of the two young princes in the Tower of London in 1483. The two young boys were the two eldest sons of King Edward IV, elder brother of Richard. When Edward IV died, quite unexpectedly in 1483, his eldest son, Edward, succeeded him. But before Edward could be crowned, he and his younger brother, Richard of Shrewsbury, Duke of York, because he was in fact Duke of York, they were both taken to the tower on the orders of their uncle, Richard, who claimed it was for their protection. However, as we now know, the young Edward was never crowned, and he and his brother Richard disappeared within the tower, never to be seen again after the early autumn of 1483. So, the fact I want to highlight is that the term "the two princes in the tower" is incorrect. For in actual fact, it was one prince and one king who disappeared in the tower. Once again, it was those Victorians who coined the term "the two princes in the tower." The naming "the two princes" grew out of the 19th century motif of innocent children awaiting an unknown fate, and this was visualized in the 1878 painting "Princes in the Tower" by John Everett Millais. In this context, the two princes interlocked better with the concept of helpless children more than the convoluted title of "a king and a prince in the tower." So, that is yet another tidbit you might offer into a conversation about the two princes. It is one of the most fascinating mysteries of the late medieval age, with no culprit ever found. Contemporary scholars pointed accusing fingers at Richard III, and of course, contemporary scholars were writing the history according to the Tudor dynasty, and more specifically, Henry VII, the victor. Even Thomas More Henry VIII's advisor, writing years after the fact, claimed that the boys were smothered with pillows on the orders of Richard III. However, many other clues and suspects have been put forward through the ages, with everyone from Henry Tudor, the future Henry VII, being named as a suspect to rival groups within the Yorkist factions. But whoever did order their deaths, and it is believed that they lost their lives by foul play, it must have been someone who stood to gain by severing the line of succession from Edward IV. It is unlikely we shall ever know whether it was someone with the ambition to break Yorkist rule, or it was someone with the hunger for power. The bodies of the two boys were never recovered, and though skeletons were found in the tower in 1674, these were never conclusively proven to be the remains of Edward V and his brother Richard. In yet another tidbit, one might actually think of Henry VIII's son, who was named Edward VI and not Edward V, as the Tudor dynasty recognized Edward V as having been the rightful king. Incidentally, not so long ago, a find was made which points to the two boys having never actually died in the tower, making Richard III innocent of the crime of murder. Now, these newest findings are yet to be fully validated by the majority of modern historians. But if you wish to know more, visit any of the many sites run by the societies of Richard III who strive to clear his name. So those were five facts that I find interesting, and I hope you did too, about the English medieval king, Richard III. I hope you liked this episode. If you did, please consider subscribing to Restless Times in History. Once again, I apologize for the delay in the third episode of the Stockholm Bloodbath, but it is coming as soon as I get it done. Until next time, I have been Eva, and thanks so much for listening.